Thank you, Jaden. Appreciate that good reading and a good song leading. And appreciate everyone being here tonight. You must not have got the memo. I said Luke was at Groveport and I was going to be here tonight. So you probably missed that, but we're glad you're here. And appreciate the kind words from the lesson this morning. I'm going to try not to get whatever happened this morning. I'm going to try to take it more easy tonight. And in doing that, I've got a lesson taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And it is dealing with, as if you heard the reading, you can probably guess that it's dealing with comfort. And when we think about that, I looked up, in preparing for this lesson, I looked up the definition. I don't know what it is, I'm weird this way, but I like to know the definition, the origin of words, and I don't even know why, because I didn't do well in English, as many of you can tell by when you hear me speak, but I like to know about words. I like to learn new words, but I looked up comfort, and the definition for comfort is the state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. The state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. And another, you scroll down a little bit, it says the ease of grief or distress. Now, all of us understand what it means to be uncomfortable. I was trying to think of a good illustration, and brethren, this is the best I got. This is the best one I have. I asked Marcy, she said, nah, you probably shouldn't use that. But this is true. When I was growing up, many of you young people, you young men, won't know what I'm talking about, but perhaps some of you older men will. When I was about between the ages of 5 and about 8 years old, my mother, who's not here tonight, but I wish she was, I want someone to give her this tape because it still bothers me. She would dress me up any birthday, any school picture, any function that, you know, church and any function that we had to dress up, every picture from the time I was 5 years old, she has in her book until I was about 8 years old, I was put in a garment known as a dickie. Does anyone know what that is? If you've ever had one on, you will know that. Cole doesn't know what a dickie is. Because I promised myself if I ever had children, I would never make them wear one of those garments. What they are, in case you don't know, they're like a fake turtleneck. And they're not real, they're like the collar of a turtleneck, and I think they're made out of steel wool. And the only way you could put that on was to take it and jam it over your head, and it had just a little piece of cloth that came on the front and the back, so if you had a shirt on, it would look like you had a turtleneck on. That's a dickie. And it is the most uncomfortable piece of clothing ever, and I had to wear that everywhere we go. You will not find one picture of me at my house from age 5 through 8 because no doubt I had a dickie on when that picture was taken. And I just still to this day don't understand why my mother put me through that, but that was, when I read this definition, the state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint, I automatically thought about the dickie. And maybe some of you have went through the same thing that I did, but the worst thing that we can think of in our own lives is in an uncomfortable situation is what I want to talk about tonight. Actually, I want to talk about the difference of that. Let's notice some synonyms for comfort. A synonym for comfort is contentment. You remember that the Bible has a lot to say about that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Contentment is a synonym for comfort. Relief, satisfaction, well-being, all of these things are what we're seeking in our life, in our physical life, but also, and most importantly, our spiritual lives. peacefulness, quietness. Think about that. When we're comfortable, when we're in comfort, we're quiet. It's peaceful. It's nice. That's what we strive for. We all want to be comfortable. In fact, our society is crazy with trying to be comfortable in the physical sense, aren't they? The other day I was at another store, and there was a grown lady there, like in the afternoon, in her pajamas. Have you seen that? There's people walking around in her, but she was in her pajamas in the afternoon. Why? Probably because she wanted to be comfortable. There are clothes that we buy that are comfortable. Our society is bent on being comfortable, and I guess that's all right. But sometimes we take this to the extreme. If you go to Ann Arbor in the summertime, you're going to find people walking around with Birkenstock sandals. Okay, we know what those are. Those are very comfortable shoes. But in Ann Arbor, they wear socks with them. It's the most, it's just awful when you see someone with Birkenstock and socks. Women might be able to get away with it, but especially when men do that, it's just awful. But again, they do that because they're comfortable. Today we were shopping this afternoon, and Marcy said, "I need a pair of comfortable shoes." She picked up a pair, and I said, no, it doesn't matter how comfortable those are. I'm not paying for them. We're not getting those. But we're all trying to be comfortable in our own lives. You know, we have comfort food. And when we eat certain kind of food, it makes us more comfortable and feel at ease. And, you know, things like gravy and mashed potatoes and all of those things. Comfort is something that we strive for. But when we really get down to think about it, real comfort, lasting comfort, according to the Apostle Paul here in this passage of Scripture, comes as a result of God's love and mercy for us. Look at again at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, watch this, and God of all comfort. So God is the creator and the father, if you will, the sole authority over what real comfort is. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, who comforts us, that would be those of us who are Christians, who comforts us in all our tribulation. I want you to notice that for a moment. You know, it's one thing to be uncomfortable in a physical sense. We can always try to get comfortable in that arena. But when we are uncomfortable in a spiritual sense, or in a situation whereby we are suffering tribulation or agony as a result of our faith, it is God who takes care of us. It is God that brings that comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Now watch this, that we, those who are comforted by God, those who are comforted from our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So do you see what the Bible is telling us here as Christians? We are comforted by God. God comforts us in our tribulation, in our sufferings, in our strife, in our uncomfortable situations. And as we think about that, some opposites or antonyms for comfortable is discontent, misery, pain, sorrow, woefulness, distress, and torment. Now, these are all the opposite of spiritual comfort or comfortableness or comfort in the framework of what God has to offer. But then notice what he says as we read a little bit further. Look at verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, So our consolation also abounds through Christ. The point that the apostle is making is that if any man suffer as if any man is a Christian, we will suffer. If any man suffer as a Christian, we're going to be comforted ultimately by God Himself. So the point is, if we suffer for Christ, so our consolation or our comfort also abounds through Christ. Now, verse 6. Now, if we are afflicted, that's uncomfortable. That's suffering, that's pain, that's agony. He says, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Speaking of the apostleship and those that came, those faithful Christians that came before us, namely the apostles, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Now, do you get that? Brethren, we need to understand what he's saying there, because it has a lot to do with how we view our Christian life. Because a lot of us, we have trouble in our Christian life and being faithful and living up to the standard that the New Testament sets out for us if we become uncomfortable in our faith. If we're fine, as long as we're comfortable, we're cruising right along, nothing bad is happening, there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no anxiety, there's nothing to make us uncomfortable, I'm fine as a New Testament Christian. But when I begin to suffer, when bad things take place and it causes me to be uncomfortable in my faith or uncomfortable in my status quo of a life, then I might get a little nervous. Then I might question my faith or the love that God has for me. But notice what Paul is saying here. He says, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. The apostle Paul and the first century faithful brethren were being persecuted for the cause of Christ. They were being beaten and tormented and thrown into prison and tortured because they were faithful. And he says, because we suffer, it's for your consolation. It's to make you comfortable. Now, how does that work? How does Paul's suffering have anything to do with my faithfulness as a Christian? He says at the end of verse 6, or it is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. So the point is, when we look to those who came before us, those faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who were persecuted, who suffered being uncomfortable as a result of their faith and their witness of Jesus Christ, it gives us, the church of today, the ability to go through the same thing. If they went through it, then I can go through it. And that's the way it is. Have you ever been with someone who was in physical agony or pain? You witnessed that, and they come through it. Well, that gives you, if you are going through similar circumstances, that gives you the ability to go through it as well. Well, if he or she made it through, then I can do it. That's exactly the point that Paul is making here. Through the suffering of the apostles, through the suffering of the faithful brethren before us, we also can be comforted. And then he says at the end of the verse, or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So we know that if the first century Christians were persecuted and tormented, and if they were even killed as a result of their faith, what was going to happen to them? Well, they were going to go to heaven. They were ultimately going to be comforted. What about us? When we go through trials and uncomfortable circumstances as a Christian, and to the point where we don't understand or we can't see the big picture, and we go through that, when are we going to be comforted? Same time. We read about heaven. We understand what the Bible teaches about heaven. Heaven is a place where we are all going to be comforted through eternity, those who are faithful. As a result of our faithfulness and our uncomfortable surroundings in this life from time to time. So, and then notice what he says in verse 7. And our hope for you is steadfast, unmovable, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation or the comfort. You're gonna suffer, you're gonna be uncomfortable, you're gonna go through pain and agony, but you're also going to receive consolation, comfort, all of those things that we talked about, relief, satisfaction, peacefulness, and well-being. For we do at the end of verse 7, easy for you to say. And our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Now, we understand from this passage of Scripture that the comfort that Paul is talking about is the only comfort that comes as a result of God's love and mercy for us. That's true, ultimate comfort. But how does that help us? And what does that do for us? And how do we recognize it when we see it? Well, there are a lot of things that give us comfort. Turn, if you would, in the Old Testament back to Isaiah chapter 51. Look at Isaiah chapter 51. Look at verse 12. The prophet Isaiah speaking concerning the joy that's going to come as a result of the Israelite people repenting and turning back to God. Notice the words that he uses here. He says in verse 12 of Isaiah 51, I, even I, am he who comforts you, says the Lord. Who are you that you should be afraid? Now think about that, brethren. Look at what he's saying. God is saying to his people, it is God who comforts us. And if God, the creator and the sustainer of our universe, knows how to do everything imaginable to the greatest extent, when it comes to comforting those who are suffering, how do you think God will do that? I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid? Brethren, those are words of comfort. That's right. If God is going to comfort us, what do I have to worry about? What do I have to be concerned about being uncomfortable in the life that I now live? Because I know if I serve God, that everything is going to ultimately be outstanding. Of a man who will die, and of the son of a man who will be made like grass, and you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, you have feared continually every day. He says, you people need to understand who it is you serve. Because you're afraid, you're uncomfortable, you're making the wrong decisions, you're not being as content as you need to be because you're afraid because of the fury of the oppressor. That would be Satan. Because of Satan and your enemies, you're afraid when he has prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fall. And he says in verse 15, but I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. Brethren, he's talking about his people. He's talking about you and I and his ability to comfort us beyond we can ever imagine. And you know, we need to think about that. The next time we're uncomfortable or find ourselves in an uncomfortable situation as a result of our faith and the commitment that we made to God. God's going to take care of me. I'm going to be all right. I may be physically uncomfortable and suffering for the moment, but I know God is going to make everything all right. You know, we read this, and it's the scriptures that give us comfort. If we don't understand the scriptures, if we don't read the scriptures, if we don't understand the power of God, it's because we don't understand his word. And we're not going to be comforted unless we understand his word. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, I know, is a very familiar passage of scripture. For whatever things were written before or aforetime, he's talking about the scriptures, the Old Testament, there in Romans chapter 15. Paul says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime or before were written for our learning. Okay? So we read the Old Testament to learn something. What is it that we learn from the Old Testament? Written for our learning that we, New Testament Christians, through the patience, and watch this, and comfort of the Scriptures, the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That we gain hope and comfort from the Old Testament Scriptures. How does that happen? Brethren, how does that happen? We need to know this. It happens as a result of us reading all of those old stories that we've all learned since we were little tiny children about how God took care of his people, about how God saved his people and did all of these things and kept loving and being concerned and comforting his people when they obeyed him. How that God was always in control, even when it seemed like God was far away. We read about all of that from the Old Testament for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The hope that is being referred to there is the hope of expectation. It's the hope of knowing that everything is going to be all right because we serve God. No one else, friends, no one else, brethren, has that ability and has that blessing at their disposal. So the Scriptures give us comfort. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there is a discussion by the Apostle Paul concerning the end of time. Concerning the end of days and the things that are going to go on during that time. And we don't have time to read it all, but look at 1 Thessalonians real quickly, chapter 4. And I want you to notice how this passage of Scripture also tells us and gives us insight into how God comforts us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's pick up reading at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, there were those individuals in the first century that were having a problem. They were uncomfortable because of the fact that their loved ones, their faithful Christian loved ones, had already died. And they were suffering and they were dying and they were concerned about them and what was going to happen if they died before Jesus came back. That's a good question. That's a good something to be concerned about. But the Apostle Paul is giving them Scripture, giving them reference to what is going to happen, that everything's going to be all right, that the dead in Christ are going to rise, then those that are faithful and are alive are going to be resurrected and going to be caught up together in the clouds, and they're going to meet the Lord in the air, and they'll be all right for eternity. But I want you to notice the very last verse, verse 18 of this passage. After he had told them what was going to happen through the scriptures, he says, therefore, what? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What words? The truth of the Word of God. What is really going to happen? Think about that, brethren. What comfort we can get as New Testament Christians when we think about what's going to happen when all this is over, when we die. When we die, the Bible teaches us, the Scriptures teach us, that we're going to be with the saved, with the Lord forever. Now that's comforting. That's everything that we could ever imagine. We know we don't deserve that, but that's exactly what's going to happen. And we need to comfort one another with the Scriptures and encourage one another and allow the Scriptures to comfort us when we're not always comfortable. Not only do the Scripture give us comfort, but also comfort comes from fellow Christians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 11. Paul says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. So not only, brethren, do the Scriptures bring us comfort and give us comfort and encouragement, but here, Paul says, our brethren do too. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Paul here is telling us, look around as a Christian. Look who is there to help you get to heaven. Your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and the leadership of the congregation, those who teach and admonish you, look at them. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those, not to give them a plaque, not to give them a trophy, but to recognize that they're there and what they're doing for you. When's the last time we've done that? When's the last time have we recognized those that labor among us and are trying to help us get to heaven? We need to do that, brethren, because the Bible teaches us that comfort comes from one another. And notice what he says in verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You see, we can comfort them. We can encourage our leadership and our leaders, those that are above us in maturity and in Christ. We encourage them as they encourage us. That's how it works. And then he says, be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, another verse that we need to look at. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. All right? That's what the leadership does. That's what we do as New Testament Christians. We warn those who aren't faithful. Warn those who are unruly. But notice this. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Brethren, when we do that, when a congregation of the Lord's people does that, who's going to stop the growth, maturity level, and the faithfulness of that congregation? No one. But you have trouble in a congregation when people aren't thinking about comforting one another, but thinking about getting all the comfort. What is this congregation doing for me? Well, that's not what he says here, is it? But it's our responsibility to comfort those that need comforting. You see, when we're doing that, we're too busy to figure out how uncomfortable we are. And that's how it's supposed to work. We gain comfort from one another as Christians. So, how comfortable are you as a New Testament Christian? In fact, how uncomfortable are you outside of Christ? You cannot be spiritually comfortable and satisfied and peaceful and content outside of Christ. Now, you might be physically comfortable. You might have Birkenstocks. You might have a fleece suit. You might wear your pajamas to Walmart. You might be comfortable physically. But unless your relationship is right with God through obedience to the gospel and being added to the Lord's church where true and everlasting comfort exists and abide, you don't even understand what real comfort is. So I hope this lesson tonight will encourage you. If you're in our audience and you're outside of Christ, peace awaits. Comfort that extends beyond all of our understanding is available through Christ and Christ alone. So we want to offer you the opportunity tonight, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you don't know what comfort is. You don't know what peace is until you arise to walk out of the watery graves of baptism, having your sins forgiven, knowing that no matter what happens, you're going to heaven. That's what the blood of Christ offers. That's the love and the comfort that God expresses through his Son. So if you're here tonight and you don't understand that, you've never obeyed that, we want to offer you that. We don't. God wants to offer you that. We're just the means by which we can help. And we want, as a congregation, to make sure that you are comforted, that you understand, that you're encouraged, that you're built up in the most holy faith, to the best that we can in this congregation. We have a leadership here that cares about your soul. They're not going to let you get into things that aren't right. They're not going to let you wander down a path of pain and sorrow and miss out on heaven. But they're going to demand your faithfulness, as they should, just as God does. So tonight, if you're here in our audience and you're a member of the body of Christ, and maybe you're not comfortable as a Christian, maybe you're outside of your element, and you need prayer so that you be stronger, that you'll be able to overcome the temptations and the obstacles that bring physical discomfort or spiritual discomfort in your life, and pain and suffering. Maybe you're suffering tonight. There's only one being that can give you the freedom, true freedom from that, and that is God through Jesus Christ. If you're here this evening and subject to the Lord's invitation, if we can help or assist you, won't you come? But together we stand and sing.